soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis sounding the alarm on May 1st, 2012. I have the desire to minister the Word of God and to talk about the things of the Lord this evening. And I've had a really fascinating day, or exciting day, thrilling day in the Lord. God's good, and I'm delighting in the Lord. Not because the God gives you the desires of your heart when you delight in the Lord. That's a side benefit. It's delighting in the Lord. I was sharing that with a friend of mine yesterday. I encourage you to delight in the Lord. You know, He's eternal. And the life He's given us is eternal, has no end. Things of this world are passing away. Everything in it, everything of it, passing away, just like smoke. It's like a vapor. And we really want to be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and walking in the Spirit and having our flesh crucified in the lusts and the passions, and have being like Paul, being crucified to the world and the world crucified unto us. It's a double cross in a good sense. That's how you have life. Got to share with people out there, and just as I was going about today, one with a young man that I actually have been aware of through the Spirit of the Lord was showing me him, and I've been praying for him. And I got to talk to him today, and he did profess to be a believer in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God has his hand on his life, and got to share. He has things he wants to accomplish in the world that may not or may be of the Lord, may not be of the Lord. But this is one of the first things God wants to know as we start walking with him is, what do we want? Do we want the Lord? Do we want to walk with the Lord? Or do we want things of this world? And I believe to a very great degree, we set the stage for what we encounter in life by the things we go after or even lust after. If we passionately desire the Lord, we'll find him and the things of him. But God is very gracious and slow to deal with our life, but we must come to the cross. We must pick up our cross daily, deny ourselves, and follow the Lord. So these things of this world are passing away. It's really important that we not be enamored with the things of the world and seeking prestige with in honor of man. We need to seek the honor that comes from God only. We need to not seek pleasure, but seek the pleasure that's blessed by God. We need to not be covetous, wanting what's not ours, but be content with what God has given us. One of the scriptures I was reading this week was James chapter 2, how the apostle James was rebuking the assembly. You know, when people come in the assembly and you are having preference to the one that's dressed up, has fancy clothing, and you say, sit over here. But the guy that comes in, he's poor and dressed in shambles, you say, go sit over there. James says, aren't you evil? Aren't you partaker of evil? Oh. This is from James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? See, it's not the way the world thinks, is it? It's not the one that climbs the ladder or has the highest is the greatest, or he that has the most toys wins. That's not the way of the Lord, the kingdom. And God's going to try your faith. That's what this is all about. You're going to go through fire. You're going to go through tribulation and affliction and persecution. God wants to know, are you going to be obedient? Are you going to deny the Lord? Are you going to acknowledge the Lord before men? This is what God is doing. He says, but you've despised the poor. You know, that word despise means to consider vain, to look down upon. And it also, many times the word is used is hate. To hate is to despise, to consider vain, useless, lower. That's wicked. We're not to think that way towards our fellow man. Ones that were created by God in the image and likeness of God. He goes, after all, I'm just paraphrasing here. Don't rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? So whose side are you on anyway? Well, that was a powerful scripture. Sharing with a man of God yesterday, he's really is a man of faith. He loves faith. We were just having this wonderful discussion about faith. He was talking about not using faith just to get things, which are temporal, but being pleasing to God, which without faith, you cannot please God. So you have to have faith. God gives every man a measure of faith, and faith is in the realm of the spirit. And I dare say, you know, faith isn't something that we muster up or conjure up. Faith is deposited by God. It's a gift by God. It's actually fruit of the Spirit of God. It's a manifestation of the Spirit of God. God gives every man a measure of faith, and we want our faith to grow. And really, it's our heart is like the soil or the conduit, because what the Lord talks about is people that had an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, listen, let's talk about this. This word unbelief in the Greek is apistos, which means pistos is faith. It means no. So it means when they had an evil heart of unbelief, they had an evil heart of no faith. So what happened to the faith that God gave them? Their heart was evil, corrupted. Other things were in there. Like Jesus said, the lust of this world, the cares of this life, and other things enter in and choke the word of God, and it becomes unfruitful. And yet you may be a professing believer, you know in your head, Jesus is Lord, he came to die for your sins. You believe that? That he was killed? He was buried for 3 days, and he rose again after 3 days, according to the scripture. You believe that, perhaps with your head. But is it in your heart? Do you have faith? Another thing I was reading this week was Matthew 23. Jesus' derision of religious leaders in that day. He came to his own received him not. They had this elaborate religious system. They had the temple. They had the priesthood. They had all the ordinances. And yet when God the Father sent his son, Jesus Christ, to speak the words of God, they wouldn't receive it. And Jesus says, because they didn't love God. And they didn't bear witness or receive what Jesus was saying, because the word of what God was saying from heaven wasn't in their heart. So they were not abiding in the word of God. And I believe that this is the same thing that's happening today in the religious world. This is why men have become so worldly that they're on radio stations, internet, TV, their political leaders are all entangled in these worldly endeavors, joining forces with heretics and deceivers and liars and men that deny that Jesus is the Christ or that he is the Son of God. They're Antichrist. That's the classic definition in the Bible. How's this happen? It happens because of what goes on in people's hearts. They stop seeking the Lord. They stop loving the Lord. They started allowing other things to be loved too. And you can't have two masters. You'll love one, hate the other. You'll hold to one, reject the other. You can't serve God and mammon. So this is why it's so important. Like Paul said, I die daily. It's picking up your cross daily. Coming unto the Lord, picking up your cross, denying your soul, yourself, your self-will, the flesh, the sarx, the way of the flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the lust thereof. Well, goes on in this progression, and when you start not sanctifying the Lord, God is holy. God is true. There's no lie. There's no shadow. There's no mixture. When you start not sanctifying the Lord, you start letting other things in that defile. That's a very serious thing to happen. If any man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We're supposed to examine ourselves to see if we're really in the faith or are we a reprobate. Can't walk with Jesus and walk in darkness. He's the light of the world. He's not the darkness of the world. Can't walk with Jesus and love the world. He that loves the world hath not the love of the Father. You've become an enemy of God. And there's people that may be on TV or radio or internet, but they're actually, their God is their belly. They're driven by appetites and carnal will. And they glory in their shame. The things that they think are really good are disgusting in base before God. They glory in their shame. Their God is their belly, and their destruction shall surely come. They mind earthly things. That's in Philippians chapter 3. The enemies of the cross. In Romans 16, Paul talks about we need to mark those that cause divisions contrary to the doctrine, contrary to scripture. Someone teaches a slant here, a slant there, to the left, to the right. Mark them. They're a heretic. And if they don't turn from their folly after the second or third admonition, reject them because they're subverted. They're upside down and they sin. And Jesus warned us to beware of men, to beware of the leaven. Leaven is hypocrisy. Leaven is false doctrine. Leaven is immorality, as we see in 1 Corinthians 5. Beware. We're talking about droves of people falling away from Jesus, going astray. And this is what will happen before the second coming of Jesus. The man of sin will be revealed and the falling away, which I believe we're seeing right now. A true follower of Jesus, as a good soldier, fights the good fight of faith and does a war according to the rules of God, according to the holiness of God. And he's not entangled in the affairs, the temporal base things of this world. Every single nation of the earth will commit harlotry and abomination before the Lord. Every single nation in the earth is going to be judged by God. And Jesus Christ, according to Matthew 25, is going to separate the sheep from the goats. When we read the scripture, we see we are a holy nation. Our citizenship is in heaven. That we seek New Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, where God's rule and reign is. And God is going to be among his people where he reigns. His light will be among us. It will be the light of the city. We have to think the way of the Lord in these days. So I was telling you, same thing that happened with Matthew 23, Jesus would say the same thing, by and large, to religious leaders. Religious leader must be a servant like Jesus. A leader of Jesus follows Jesus. He exemplifies Jesus. His doctrine is of the Lord. His manner is of the Lord. His purpose is of the Lord. It lines up. It's not a contradiction. So let's go ahead and read what Jesus said here. Matthew 23, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They say one thing, but do another. And it gets worse than that. Listen to this. This is Matthew 23, verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. I was really struck by the language here of Jesus. Binding, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. You see the picture? And lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. What a hypocrite. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Okay? That is really important to take notice. Charlatan ministries. What they do, every single thing they do, is on the level of what men's reaction and response will be. Everything they do is calculated for manipulation of people and what people think and what they want people to do. Of course, they want people to give them money. Of course. They're extortioners, according to Jesus. So everything they do is to be seen of men. It's not what God sees. God sees everything. They're totally oblivious to that. They don't think God sees. They don't think God acts. Well, they don't think God will do anything. But they're wrong. They make broad their phylacteries, which is a religious custom of the Jews. But they make it really apparent and they emphasize it for people's reaction. They enlarge the borders of their garments. Oh boy. Now they wear special religious clothing. Let's go on. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts. They love it. They like the seat of honor. They want to be puffed up, pumped up. They want to be on a pedestal. They want to be seen by people. They see here. And the chief seats in the synagogues, they love that too. They want to sit on they call it the stage. That should tell you something in the church world. They love the uppermost rooms in the feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi. But be ye not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. This is so important to me. I'm convinced that the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom, okay, where is his kingdom? Is where he's ruling and reigning. He's ruling and reigning now. There is a kingdom of God now, today. And it's manifested where people are submitted to the Lord. As Jesus said, don't say the kingdom is here, the kingdom is there. It's with this group, it's with this church, it's with this institution, it's with this ministry. It's over in this city, this land. No. It's where people are submitting to the Lord and they are operating in the power of God. And they manifest the power of God through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's where the kingdom of God is manifested in the earth today. But I'm convinced that in the kingdom of God, I'm not talking about church world, but I'm referring to the kingdom of God. I'm convinced that the Lord does not want us to use titles. I don't believe we should be seeking that people call us apostle or prophet or pastor or teacher or rabbi or father. And if you listen closely to, I know that that's the tradition, but why do you keep the tradition and violate the word of God? That's what Jesus said when he was questioned why his disciples, hello, did not keep the tradition of the elders in Mark chapter 7. These men love the uppermost. They want to be the accolades. They want to be enamored by people. And I want to be accoladed by the Father. And I want to be enamored by the Father. I don't care what people think. I want to be upright before the Lord and have an honest, reputable reputation. But I people come and go. It's very fickle. I'm not concerned about what man thinks. I'm concerned about what the Lord thinks. He tries our heart. He sees everything and hears everything. Aren't you that way too? Don't you want to be? Yeah, absolutely. But be ye not called rabbi. And he puts it in perspective. For one is your master. Christ. Now, that's what we need to keep in our remembrance. That, hey, we've got a master over us, and it's Jesus Christ. So we better be careful how we watch this attitude. And he says, all you are brethren. I think this title thing is vain. It's carnal. It's worldly. And I think it's divisive. Don't you? You look at the context, what Jesus is saying. Don't be called rabbi. You're all brethren. Call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. I don't know how the Catholics get away with calling priests father. I don't even know how they created this priesthood. It's just amazing how foreign it is from the scripture. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Wow. Whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither allow them that are entering to go in. I was talking about this with my brother yesterday. And I said, it's like these guys standing at a doorway and block the doorway with their body to keep people from going in. They don't go in, but they're not going to let anybody else go in either. Isn't that despicable? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Remember, they do everything for a reaction to be seen. They're not praying to God. It's just blah, blah, blah. That's sin. Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You know, the religious people, whether they want to convert you to their form of religion, or they want to bring you under some weird doctrine, like they want to circumcise you, they want you to keep a certain day, you know, they want their mark on you. Woe unto you, you blind guides. Can't see. See, they're blind. I was thinking about people that are blind today. You know, the people today, for the most part, are blinded. They cannot see. They can't see right in front of them. Their mind is darkened. Their hearts are darkened. And they're alienated from the life of God through ignorance that's in them. But God, who is rich in mercy, he's able to spare people. But when you've given yourself over to the devil, when you've given place to the devil, and you've walked in sin and abomination and detestable things, and you've come into curse, darkened your mind, and your heart has become hardened and callous, because the wages of sin is death. And because sin hardens the heart, and it grieves the spirit, and it quenches the spirit of God, you're just working so hard against yourself. I'm really concerned about that. But this is what the Lord is saying about this religious people. They were blind guides. Which say, whoever will swear by the temple, that's nothing. But whoever will swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. I guess we can see what they're really concerned about, huh? You fools and blind, for whether it's greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. See, they have their whole perspective backwards, upside down. They're emphasizing the wrong things. Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar swears by it and by all things thereon. And whoso swear by the temple swears by it and by him that dwells therein. Ooh. And he that shall swear by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him that sits thereon. Oh, wow. God sits on the throne, all right. Heaven. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Told you that they did extortion. You blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. See, God's cleaning the inside of our hearts and inside of our lives, that it is expressed outwardly. But the religious people, they're just going by a superficial pseudo front of what things appear on the surface. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets, because all the prophets were killed by religious people. They're saying, oh, we wouldn't have done that. But yet they killed Jesus, the Prince of Life, the prophet that Moses himself spoke of. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. You know, like father, like son. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Man, I sure wouldn't want Jesus talking to me like that. Would you? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues. Synagogue is a place of worship. And persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Bacharias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you. By who? The Father. Oh, they just thought they were just religious quacks coming along, upsetting the cart. No, but God is sending people still today. Wise men, scribes, prophets, anointed ministers, disciples. And you better receive them. Receive a prophet in the name of a prophet. Receive a prophet's reward. Give a cup in the name of a disciple. Receive a disciple's reward. You stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You read again Isaiah 66, and you're going to understand a lot more. The abomination of desolation. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And praise the Lord, according to the election of God, there will be a remnant that believe on Jesus, the one they have pierced. They will behold him and weep and cry for him at his coming. Praise the Lord. That's the good news. Jesus is coming back. All the scriptures are going to be fulfilled. And we ought to read these things and take more earnest heed of all things written, for the day is at hand. God bless you.